Live FM, KCSN, and KCSN HD1, Northridge, Los Angeles. KSBR and KSBR HD1, Mission Viejo. A service of California State University, Northridge, and Saddleback College. Member-supported public radio. Streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.
You probably know this song, Pride in the Name of Love by U2, one of the most famous rock bands in the world, and they've played that song thousands of times for millions of people. But they've never played it quite like this before.
In the name of love, one more in the name of love.
U2's new collection, Songs of Surrender, sees the band reworking 40 songs from their catalog and moving them from the arena into a much more intimate space. Here's U2 guitarist, The Edge.
They're big songs, and they're designed for big venues. But this was the opposite. It was like, well, let's take these same songs, but we'll have it like Bono's singing into your ear.
The Edge joins me today to talk about transforming old U2 songs and how being in a band together for so long has changed their perspective on some of those tracks. That's coming up. I'm Raina Duris. This is World Cafe. Before we get to that interview with The Edge, an artist that The Edge inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame just last year. He gave a speech about how much her band, Eurythmics, mean to him. They've been friends for years. They've even gone on Greenpeace missions together. It's Annie Lennox, a solo track from her cover of The Clash, Train in Vain.
They say you stand by your man. Tell me something I don't understand. You said you love me, and that's a fact. And then you left me, said you felt trapped. Well, some things you can't explain away, but the heartache's with me till this day. Did you stand by me? Did you stand by me? No way. All the times that we were close, I remember these things the most. I've seen all my dreams come tumbling down. I can't be happy without you around. So you didn't stand by me, no, not at all. You didn't stand by me, no way. You didn't stand by me, no, not at all. You didn't stand by me, no way. You must explain why this must be. It don't pay. I need no clothes. I need somewhere to stay. But without all of these things I can do, without your love, I won't make it through. Without your love, I won't make it through. But you don't understand my point of view. I suppose there's nothing stand by me, no, not at all. You didn't stand by me, no way. You didn't stand by me, no, not at all. You didn't stand by me, no way. You must explain why this must be. Thank you.
me.
Stand by me.
Not at all.
Not at all.
Stand by me.
Stand by me.
No way.
This is World Cafe. I'm Raina Duris. If you had a chance to go back and change something in your past, would you take it? Are there things that you did or choices you made that you might like to try a different way now that you're a bit older and wiser? U2 has been a band for more than four decades. They've grown and changed a lot since they started. And on their brand new album, Songs of Surrender, they revisit 40 songs from their back catalog and perform them in entirely new ways. Today, I'm joined by U2 guitarist The Edge. He produced and curated the new album, and we'll discuss the significance of the songs they chose and why the band wanted to revisit, re-record, and in some cases, rewrite songs from their past. He'll also share early U2 stories and talk about how playing those old songs in fresh ways helped prepare them to start writing their next album of all new songs. Our conversation begins in a moment, but first, from Songs of Surrender, here is the reworked version of With or Without You. You too on World Cafe.
See the stones set in your eyes. Am I such a thorn in your side? Should I wait for you? A sleight of hand and a twist of fate. On a bed of nails, you make me wait. Without you, with or without you, with or without you. Through the storm, we reach the shore. Give it all, but I want more. And I'm greedy for you. With or without you, with or without you, I can't live. With or without you.
That was U2 from their new album, Songs of Surrender, a 40-song collection of their own reimaginings of songs from their own catalog. And today, from U2, The Edge joins me to talk about the album. Welcome to the World Cafe.
Thank you, Raina. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's so great to have you. I know you were the sort of driving force in making this album. You curated the album. What did that role, the curator role, entail?
Well, it was a project that sort of organically grew because initially, you know, no one was expecting this collection. Our record label were not asking us for it. But during lockdown, I had nothing to do. And Bono was working on what became Surrender, his book. And this idea had been floating around for a while. It's like, maybe we should expand on the acoustic versions of some of our songs and, you know, do it as a fan-centric thing. So I started work on a few. And as the momentum gathered on this experiment, I started to get very excited. And I was playing these demos to Bono. And so it sort of really took on its own momentum after a while. And at a certain point, we had so many of these new versions that we came up with the idea to almost sort of make it an internal rhyme with what Bono's book was made up of, which was 40 chapters, each one a song title. So we said, well, why don't we just aim to do 40 reimagined versions of U2 songs, which is what we ended up doing. And by coincidence, we have a song called One, and we have a song called 40. So it kind of, in some ways, it was, once we figured that out, it was an obvious thing to do. And our whole thing was, from the beginning, if we're going to do this, we have to make these versions different in some way. They can't in any way reference the original. So we thought, well, an overarching idea might be to use intimacy as the kind of the thread. So, U2 recordings over the years have been, you know, designed mostly to fit into our live shows. So it's a rock band in full flight mostly, and they're big songs, and they're designed for big venues. But this was the opposite. It was like, well, let's take these same songs, but we'll have it like Bono's singing into your ear.
Yeah, yeah. I'm so glad you said that, because that was my first thought. It's like, well, U2, I kind of think of as this kind of arena stadium rock band. And on this record, it feels like you're there in the room with me, singing right to me or playing right to me. The collection is divided into four parts. It's sort of four albums, one for each band member. Could you kind of explain the idea behind that?
Again, we're four individuals, and we all have our different personalities and bring different things to the band. And when we kind of put the four records in order, and that was one of the fun things, was just to be DJ for a minute and try and find the connections between the different songs. They fell quite quickly into these four separate albums, if you want. And then it was, right, well, who suits which collection? And that was, I don't know, I couldn't explain exactly why, but it just was one of the easier things. It just seemed obvious which band member suited which collection. I guess it's, just an intuitive thing, really.
I'm speaking with The Edge of U2 on World Cafe. One of the songs on your section of the collection is the reworking of Pride in the Name of Love, originally released on the Unforgettable Fire in 1984. And it's a pretty significant reworking. We'll talk about how you changed the arrangements to the songs in a minute, but I want to touch on the lyrical changes in this one and the title. The song was originally written with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in mind, but on Songs of Surrender, the full title is Pride in the Name of Love for Aylin Curdy. And people might remember Aylin Curdy. He was the little Syrian boy who drowned in the Mediterranean in 2015. And the photo of his body washed up on the beach was shared around the world. Why was Aylin the person that you wanted to memorialize in this new version?
Sometimes a song will just tell you what to do. And we were working on this version, and out of thin air, Bono starts riffing new lyrics, and I'm like, whoa, where are we going here? And that was the new verse. One boy washed up, on a beach, and I was like, whoa, what is that? And then later we kind of talked it through, and he explained that image had just hit him at that moment, and he just almost improvised those lyrics, I would say. And it was powerful to see this happen. And again, the thing about these arrangements is that they have directed us to, in places, to write new words. in places to write a lot of new musical motifs and new sections for songs. So Pride is a great example because it contains both new lyrics but also completely new music motifs, a new section in the middle that wasn't in the original to replace the guitar solo. And we also used elements that had originally been recorded for a remix by an Indian DJ and remix artist, Karsh Kale. So some of the choral voices that come into the arrangement are actually recorded by his team in India. So it's it's got an international legacy and heritage there as well. So I'm really happy with how this one turned out because it sort of demonstrates all of the things that we were hoping we would achieve with all of these songs.
There's so much to listen for. Here it is. It's Pride in the Name of Love from U2.
One man comes in the name of love. One man to come and go. One man comes he to justify. One man to overthrow. In the name of love. One more in the name of love. In the name of love. What more in the name of love. One man caught in a barbed wire fence. One man he resists. One boy washed up on an empty beach. One boy never will be kissed. In the name of love. One more in the name of love. In the name of love. One more in the name of love. Shot rings out in the Memphis sky. Free at last, they took your life. They could not take your bride.
U2's new take on Pride in the Name of Love, that is from Songs of Surrender, their new collection of reworked versions of many of the songs from their catalog. I'm Raina Duris, joined by U2's guitarist, The Edge. You have a producer credit on these new versions. You did the musical arrangements. We talked earlier about how you're used to being this sort of this big arena-style band, and many of these are quite intimate. But you do perform these songs live all the time. You have for years, and songs do morph and change from their album versions when you're playing them on stage. Were there things that you incorporated from the live show that weren't on the original recordings that ended up on these ones?
I think we did take some ideas from more stripped down arrangements that we'd done live. For instance, Every Breaking Wave became probably its more iconic version when we stripped it down to the piano and played it on the last few tours. And that's the version that we've sort of referenced on the collection. And that was, to some extent, seeing what happened with those songs and a couple of other U2 songs over the years, where really stripping them back to the very basics, you kind of hear the song in a fresh way. That was part of the encouragement for doing all of this work. And, you know, what we learned, I think, during this whole process is that, you know, a song, if it is, you know, realized in any form, can be changed. It's like it's somewhat indestructible. You can take it in all kinds of different directions. It'll still hang together, but it might speak to you in a different way. I think that was what was exciting to us.
I'm speaking with The Edge of U2 on World Cafe. You are a band that have been around for decades. You have many, many devoted fans. Was there any trepidation about altering some of these really big hits that your fans and pop culture in general have a deep relationship with?
I think very early on we asked ourselves that question, and we basically gave ourselves permission to suspend any sense of reverence for the originals. And once we'd freed ourselves from that, then it was just fun, and we would experiment and we would try different things. And sometimes a song took a couple of goes to really connect with the spirit of this project. You know, The Fly is a good example. The first version that I tried had acoustic guitar playing the traditional Fly riff, and Adam was doing his usual parts, and it was fine. It was hanging together really well, but it was kind of a little bit too much of a facsimile of the original. So we started again, and we ended up doing this kind of dueling basses thing where I'm playing bass at the top end of the instrument, Adam's playing bass at the low end.
It's no secret that the stars are falling from the sky. It's no secret that our world is in darkness tonight. They say the sun is sometimes eclipsed by a moon. You know, I didn't see. Friend is someone who lets you help. It's no secret that a liar won't believe anyone else. They say a secret is something you tell another person. So I'm telling you,
turned out so great. I arranged some percussion, and it's got this totally different feeling from the original. It's like The Fly has been out all night in some very dodgy nightclubs, and the atmosphere has got this kind of slinky, almost Tom Waits quality. And I just thought it was really, I'm happy we sort of went beyond that first version, because we ended up getting, I think, something much more unique.
Yeah. Well, I want to go back and talk about a song that you wrote when we were very young, Stories for Boys. It's a song originally from the 1980 debut, Boy. Take us back, if you can. What can you recall from the day in the studio recording the original in, I guess, 1980-ish, when you were around 19 years old?
Well, actually, the very first studio recording of Stories for Boys was 79, because it was part of an EP that we did, which was the prize from winning a talent contest, which we won in 79, before we had signed to Island Records. So it was before we had an official album record deal. And so we got to release this 12-inch, three-track 12-inch through CBS Ireland, and on that was Stories for Boys. So we got to record that. That was our first really professional level recording studio experience, and we learned so much. And I just remember kind of the terror of being in this super, like, top end professional studio. I think we recorded part of it in Dublin, part in London. I would have been 18, Bono probably 19, Adam 19, Larry probably 18 as well. And I think we just played everything way faster than we should have because of the adrenaline. All I remember is just this kind of, we were just racing through the songs. But it turned out, the EP turned out pretty well, and we ended up taking that song, Stories for Boys, and it ended up on being re-recorded with Steve Lillywhite on the first album. That was the sort of definitive, and the one that everyone knows. And by then, I think we'd got our groove going when it came to recording studios.
Years later, how has the meaning of Stories for Boys changed for you?
Yeah, it's also a different singer, because it's me singing on this one. I think, as we approached Stories for Boys, there was two approaches we were contemplating. One was a kind of a really fun throwaway kind of glam rock approach. And then I was at the piano one day and I just thought, well, maybe we could take it into a more kind of contemplative direction. So the first thing that sort of gave me a starting point was a piano idea. And I basically just started singing. And the mood was so strong. And I think what we were doing, why Bono felt that it was a good idea to rewrite the lyrics, is that, you know, the original songs written by boys, you know, we were 18, 19 years old. And that whole album, the Boy album, was a kind of ode to innocence and loss of innocence. And this is a kind of song about looking back at those boys, looking at them from this distance of time and experience to kind of give a different perspective on who we were then.
Yeah. This is Stories for Boys from U2 on World Cafe.
I go both near and far away, like a TV show with everyone I've known. In my imagination, there is just static and flow. Hello. Picture book with colored photographs, where there is no shame, there is no laugh. Sometimes I find it thrilling that I can't have what I don't know. Hello, hello, Stories for Boys. Place I go that isn't part of me, like a radio with no controls.
station. There's only static and flow. No yes or no, just stories for boys. 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 Stories for boys.
You just heard U2's new version of their song Stories for Boys from their just released new collection, Songs of Surrender. My conversation with U2 guitarist The Edge continues after the break. We'll talk about how his guitar playing has changed over the years. That's next on World Cafe.
Why, hello there, my pretties. It is Julie Slater, your midday host. Hear me Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Each week, we dig deep into an album, our 88.5 album dive, hear a new track off that album in the noon hour. And every Friday, Jason Friday joins me for Friday on a Friday in the 1 o'clock hour. It's all right here on 88.5, the SoCal Sound.
Welcome back to the World Cafe. My name is Raina Duras, and my guest today is The Edge. The U2 guitarist spearheaded the band's brand new project, Songs of Surrender. It's a collection of reworkings of songs from U2's more than four-decade-long career.
I'm curious, how do you feel your guitar playing has changed as you've gained experience and maturity?
You know, I still think of myself as a student of the instrument, and I'm always curious to learn new things and to see what other guitar players are doing. I suppose the difference today versus, you know, years ago would be I don't necessarily need to make the sound part of the guitar motif. You know, for me, for quite a while, the sound and the part were indivisible. They were one and the same thing. Now, I'm actually more content and more interested to just play the instrument and let it sound as it naturally sounds, or as close to. I mean, it is an electric thing, so it's not the same as an acoustic guitar. But I think that is a difference, coming and going from heavily processed guitar sounds rather than being my thing.
Going through all of these older songs, what kind of creative headspace does that put you in when it comes to writing new stuff?
Well, I tell you what it is. It's really, really good because, you know, I'm bumping into incredible vocal melodies and lyrics over great chord sequences as we dissect and reimagine these tunes. And I think songwriting is often a bit like pattern recognition. It's like you can choose to accept these chords and this melody, or you can go, well, actually, I think there's a better top line than that. Let's keep working, and let's not accept that chord progression, which might be a little traditional. So I think it's like a good benchmark when you're working on new things to have in your mind the songs that you hold in the highest esteem, because they will guide you somewhat. And when we're in the studio, these days we often will stop and just listen to music, because again, it's by comparison you start to understand like where your work is lying.
Do you mean you'll stop and listen to your own music, or you'll stop and listen to other music?
Other music. Anything that we feel is like a touchstone for that particular kind of track or whatever. It's like, well, what did Marvin Gaye do? Like, you know, what did the Beach Boys do? What did the Beatles do? You know, the greats. It's always good to just keep that in mind. You're not necessarily going to reference it or borrow, but you just... It's the plumb line.
Yeah. Give us a song you've thrown on in the studio lately. We'll play it, then we'll come on back.
Well, I mentioned Marvin Gaye, so I have to be What's Going On.
You got it.
There's too many of you to cry. brother, brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
That was Marvin Gaye, What's Going On. I'm Marina Duras. I'm talking to The Edge from U2 today. They have a new collection of reinterpretations the band has released of songs from their own catalog. It's called Songs of Surrender. Now, in 2014, U2 released Songs of Innocence. In 2017, Songs of Experience. And now Songs of Surrender. And Innocence, Experience, and Surrender is an interesting sequence of words. I mean, especially in the context of growing older. Is there a meaning behind those words in that order?
Well, yes. I mean, I think innocence and experience are pretty obvious. Surrender is a little more obscure. I think for us, it's a theme we've returned to a lot over the years. And there was a song, you know, Surrender on, I think it was the War album. For us, it's not a negative. You know, it's actually about acceptance. And you know, we all drive ourselves crazy all the time, judging ourselves by external metrics, you know, all the time. The outside is something that we grapple with. I think the surrender is to just say, you know, this is who I am, and I'm okay with that. To actually just go, I'm here. This is an amazing world, and I'm just going to enjoy it because, yeah. You know, the fact that we're here at all is so miraculous and so beyond the, you know, the, I mean, so unlikely that to not just accept and where you are today, right now, and go and be thankful, be grateful. It's to really miss out, I think. So that's to me what the surrender is.
The final song that I want to play from Songs of Surrender is the reinterpretation of Walk On. Walk On was released first on 2000's All That You Can't Leave Behind. A lot has changed since 2000. It feels like we're in a totally different world now. And we've talked a lot about change over the years. But one thing that has been a constant for you, too, is a social conscience. Walk On was politically minded back in 2000, and this time around, it still is. The new version sounds much more intimate, and this time, it's dedicated to Ukraine. Before we hear it, sort of given what we've talked about with intimacy and the feeling of being in the room with somebody and gentleness, could you talk about why that's a powerful approach to a song that is political, where you're trying to raise awareness and make change?
Good, very good point. You know, Walk On originally was written about Aung San Suu Kyi and what was happening in Myanmar, which is former Burma. That story, unfortunately, didn't have a great ending. So when approaching the song, we were thinking, well, what's the equivalent struggle right now? And it was obvious to us that Ukraine was the struggle of the day that needed a spotlight on it. And this version is really powerful, even though it's, as you described, that sort of more intimate, more low-key approach. Something about the words just ring out in a way that because it's not in competition with a big rock band, I think it's got just as much power to connect. And the sort of the second part of the story, after we wrote this new version, recorded the first, or started recording the first demo, we Bonner and I did a impromptu YouTube post where we were playing it very simply. I was just on acoustic guitar singing about it, singing. And then not long after, we got this call to actually go and perform in Ukraine to create a bit more, you know, media attention on what was happening there. So we did. We went. Within a few days of getting the message, we were in Poland, heading into Ukraine by train. And it was the most extraordinary experience because it was in equal measure inspiring and horrifying.
Yeah.
And it was inspiring because you got to see the courage of the Ukrainian people and the resilience and the determination. And we're very proud that we were asked. That was a huge thing. We were very proud that we could go. And when we went to Kyiv, we called up one of the musicians that we kind of knew vaguely, Taras from Antilia, and this Ukrainian band. And Bono called him up, kind of cold called him, and he's going, "Hello, Taras. This is Bono." And all he could hear on the other end of the phone was, "Hello, hold on a second." And then this sort of running, and Taras is like, "Hello, Bono." And Bono's like, "I can call you back later." He says, no, it's okay. It's just, I'm on the front line."
Oh, my God.
He was actually in active service on the front line of the war when Bono called him. So we made the call very brief, obviously, and invited him to come play with us in Kyiv. And he says, "I have to talk to my superior officer, but if I can, I'd be..." So he talked to his superior, and he said yes. So he drove... I think it took him 6 hours of driving overnight, and he arrived in his uniform, and his other bandmates were there, and he came on and he did Stand By Me with us, which is like,
wow.
Incredible.
This is Walk On Ukraine, you too.
If the comic takes the stage and no one laughs and does a dance on his own grave for a photograph, this is not a curtain call, this is the greatest act of all. For freedom. Oh, oh, walk on, walk on. What you got, they can't steal it, they can't even feel it. Walk on, walk on. Stay safe tonight. And if the dancer on the street wears a veil of tears, it's a dance no army can defeat. Love turns her fears into a kind of rage that can't be kept inside a cage. You fight or you fly, we're born or we die for freedom. Walk on, walk
flee one.
Walk On, Ukraine, from U2's Songs of Surrender on World Cafe. Songs of Surrender is a collection of 40 U2 songs that the band has rearranged, reinterpreted, and reimagined. It is out now, and I've been talking about it with my guest today, U2 guitarist The Edge. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's been a real, real pleasure to have you.
Right, it has been a real pleasure. We'll have to do this again.
Yes, please. I'm Raina Duras, back in a moment with more World Cafe.
Download the SoCal Sound mobile app and listen wherever life takes you.
Programming on the SoCal Sound is made possible by Cirque du Soleil. Growing up, you were always warned not to get carried away. But in the world of Corteo, it's all a part of the festivities. Corteo explores the mysterious space between heaven and earth with world-class acrobatics, lots of imagination, and humanity. Corteo is a joyous celebration of life. Cirque du Soleil performs through April 30th at the Microsoft Theater. Tickets are available at cirquedusoleil.com.
Peter Gabriel brings I Owe the Tour to the Kia Forum October 13th, and thanks to our friends at Live Nation, the SoCal Sound is giving away tickets. Current members of the SoCal Sound can see contest rules and enter to be eligible to win a pair of tickets at thesocalsound.org. No purchase necessary. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Peter Gabriel, the Kia Forum, October 13th.
Shakespeare wrote, "If music be the food of love, play on." We couldn't agree more. Now when you support the music you enjoy, you can provide meals for 1 in 5 people in LA County who experiences food insecurity via the Los Angeles Regional Food Bank. When subscribing to the SoCal Sound with $10 monthly, we provide the LA Regional Food Bank with 40 meals. Or $20 monthly provides 80 meals. Please subscribe now. Online at thesocalsound.org.
Hi, this is Pat Baker, host of Tangled Roots. Please join me on Sunday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m., where we will listen to gospel, blues, jazz, folk, funk, country, psychedelia, and much, much more. That's Tangled Roots, Sunday mornings, 7 to 9, right here at 88.5 The SoCal Sound.
Before the break here on World Cafe, you heard my conversation with The Edge from U2. What a nice guy. And if you missed any of that, you can hear the whole thing on our podcast at worldcafe.org, or you can subscribe anywhere you get your podcasts. I'm Raina. It is World Cafe. Here's Adele, Right as Rain.
Who wants to be right as the rain is better when something is wrong? You get excitement in your bones and everything you do's a game. When night comes in, you're on your story on. You can say I chose to be alone. Who wants to be right as the rain? It's harder when you're on top. 'Cause when hard work don't pay off and I'm tired, there ain't no home in my bed as far as I'm concerned. So wipe that dirty smile off, we won't be making.
Some kind of night.